When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow for your favorite teams. And you can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. That's betonline.ag. Bet Online, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Lions podcast. That's BLEAV right here on the Believe Network. And it is a historic episode coming off a historic NFL draft here in Detroit. 750,000 people in attendance for the 3 days. That is a record, the former record belonging to Nashville with 600,000. So over 150,000 extra people at the draft in Detroit over Nashville. And then individual records. Day one, 275,000 people. That is a record, beating the former record of 200,000 people on day one, also in Nashville. Nashville also had 200,000 people on day two of the NFL draft, and Detroit breaks that record as well with 230,000. So at every step of the way, the Detroit Lions were breaking the records previously set by Nashville. And it just shows why Detroit is such a football city. It might not get the credit of some other places, but Detroit shows out. Detroit is happy and excited to show off the city. And we also have former stars that are happy to contribute to the city as well. Former and current stars, I should say. Barry Sanders out at Buffalo Wild Wings pouring Bud Lights for people. Amon Ross St. Brown, fresh off a huge contract, $77 million guaranteed for Amon Ross St. Brown, and he's out giving away free pizza to the community at the NFL draft. Just absolutely love this, and love what the Lions did in the draft. You already heard our thoughts on Tyrion Arnold on day one of the draft, first round, the trade up there. We're here to break down all of the draft picks of the Detroit Lions. Make sure you tune in later this week, because we'll get Glover Quinn's thoughts on the draft as well. But for now, we'll get the full breakdown on all of these guys. We got the third best draft grade. The Detroit Lions got the number 3 draft grade from Dane Brugler at The Athletic. one of the top minds in the industry, also got an A from PFF, and just praises and praises and praises from all the individual sites. Everyone loved the Detroit Lions draft. Everyone was a fan. You get immediate starters in Terrion Arnold, potential immediate starter in Enos Rakestraw. You get the projects that we have with Giovanni Manu, and you get the future starters potentially with Mekhi Wingo and Christian Mahogany in the sixth round. So this draft had it all. Starting things off with Terrion Arnold, the first round pick of the Detroit Lions, 24th overall. The Lions trade up five spots. They end up giving away their third round pick this year. So we had a long time to wait between picks, but they get a seventh round in 2025 back. Trade up for the best corner in the draft. Now, no matter who you ask, he was either CB1 or CB2. Some people had Quinyon Mitchell as cornerback number one, but at worst, Terrion Arnold was cornerback number two, consensus across the board, and for good reason. He was a first-team All-American, first-team All-SEC in 2023. Five interceptions, 17 passes defended. Those both led the SEC in terms of interceptions, in terms of pass defense. We all know Terrion Arnold is a stud, and we now know the makeup of Terrion Arnold after watching all of his post-draft content. He slept in the Lions hat. He didn't take the Lions hat off for days. He's already asking Amon-Ra St. Brown, hey, where's the jugs machine? Let's go work out together. Let's get this thing going. And it's not like physically he needs a lot of work. 6 foot, 189 pounds prototype size for a cornerback. 9.27 RAS. For those of you who don't know, RAS stands for Relative Athletic Score. That is Kent Lee Platt, also a Detroit Lions fan, but just breaks down the athleticism for all the players across the NFL and compares them to each other. So you get to compare Terrion Arnold to every other cornerback that we have athletic testing measurables for at MathBomb on X. You can find it over at ras.football. Thank you, Kent Lee Platt. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal service that he offers for free as well to all of us fans out here. But 9.27 relative athletic score. This is out of 10. So this means that Terrion Arnold is a 92.7th percentile athlete at the cornerback position. That is how athletic he is. The ninth most athletic cornerback in this class. And he gets kind of weighed down by his 40, a 4.5 in the 40. That's still 70th percentile. That is still great, but it brings him down just a little bit. The 10-yard split, though, for Terrion Arnold, 1.52, that's a 90th percentile 10-yard split. And in case you're worried about the top end speed of Terrion Arnold, you should not be. There are multiple clips of when the University of Texas faced the University of Alabama. And by the way, I had to rep the Alabama shirt for this show, of course, to celebrate that pick. But plenty of film of Terrion Arnold running downfield with Xavier Worthy, the fastest man in NFL history. So don't worry about the top end speed, and the burst is clearly there. Also had a 95th percentile three cone, 6.69 in the three cone. Anything below 7 seconds in the three cone is absolutely elite. 6.69 in the three cone is just chef's kiss. Could not be more perfect. Also 92nd percentile, broad jump as well. This is all coming from RAS.football and the relative athletic score. He was also compared to Devon Witherspoon by ESPN's Matt Miller, which just makes sense. When you look at who the Lions wanted last year, they desperately wanted Devon Witherspoon with that sixth overall pick. The Seahawks beat them and they trade back, get Jahmyr Gibbs, and then go Jack Campbell instead. But the initial plan, Devon Witherspoon at six, trade up to land Jahmyr Gibbs. So they get a corner that compares very favorably to Devon Witherspoon athletically, play style, man-to-man coverage. Can't wait to see what Terrion Arnold does. And it gets even better with the double tap at cornerback. Enos Rakestraw, the Missouri cornerback, taken in the second round, the 29th pick of the second round. They go the Missouri cornerback. They get the top two cornerbacks in the SEC. And it's an absolute steal with Rakestraw. He's an inside outside guy. He can play outside. He can play in the slot. He can even move to safety, given the physicality that we've seen from Enos Rakestraw at Missouri and at LSU before that. He can play it all. Enos Rakestraw even believes that he could play edge rusher. He doesn't care where you line him up. He is going to get the job done. That confidence and that physicality, maybe he actually could play edge. Not a true on the line of scrimmage edge, but as a blitzer off the end, as an overhang guy from the secondary, Enos Rakestraw absolutely could hold his own on the edge, keeping people from escaping to the outside. So I also loved this pick. Now, you might look at the athleticism and say, I don't know, 61st percentile athlete at corner. I mean, that's not bad. That's more than fine. But 5'11", 183 pounds, a 4.51 in the 40, you know, I get he's physical, but the athleticism, does it hold up? The thing you have to remember about Enos Rakestraw is he was injured at the combine. He didn't participate in the three cone drill because of the groin injury. He also only did one of the jumps at the combine because after his first jump, he's like, you know, the explosiveness not there. I got a fine number. Not going to risk it. Not going to risk this groin injury. Runs a 4.51 at 60-70% with that groin injury. What more can you say? He's got the athleticism. He's got the physicality. He can play wherever you want him to, in the secondary, slot, outside safety. He can do absolutely everything compared to Tre'Davious White, Trey White by ESPN's Matt Miller. Love this pick and the flexibility that's going to allow for the Detroit Lions, because you can do a lot of things. Terrion Arnold can also play in the slot if you want him to. Amik Robertson has experience in the slot. Now, he is a better outside cornerback, but he can play in the slot. But that's three players that could start in the slot for the Detroit Lions when you've already got Brian Branch there. And that just frees up Brian Branch to do a hell of a lot more. Brian Branch can play safety. He can play in the slot. They can move him around based on how they're feeling, based on these matchups that they're going to get. Okay, we've got an elite slot corner here. Well, Brian Branch is just going to be in the slot in all three wide receiver sets, but we now have the flexibility to move him to safety in two wide receiver sets in base formations. We don't have to take Brian Branch off the field. He can just play safety. Or let's say they're more worried about the deep shot or more worried about what Brian Branch can do in the run game. You can have him play safety. You can have him play free safety. You can have him play strong safety. The drafting of multiple cornerbacks, double tapping the cornerback position, not only is it good because it upgrades the individual positions at cornerback, but it also frees up Brian Branch to do and be so much more. The Lions wanted to bring him along slowly, have him just focus at slot cornerback, not play so much safety in year one, year two. Now that he knows what it's like in the NFL, you can just expand that role. And so the combinations that we could be looking at in the secondary are just chef's kiss, absolutely beautiful. Carlton Davis, obviously going to be the cornerback one. That's why the Lions traded for him. He's got the big contract. He's going to be CB1. But opposite him, on the outside, you now have three options. It could be Terrion Arnold, could be Amik Robertson, could be Enos Rakestraw. I do truly believe that Terrion Arnold is going to take that number two job. He is going to win it. If it's not immediately in camp or to start week one, maybe Amik Robertson as the veteran holds him off for week one, but it's going to be quick for that transition to happen. Terrion Arnold is just too talented to keep off the field. Now, that also opens up some questions in the slot. Do you have Terrion Arnold play in the slot and Amik Robertson outside with Brian Branch at safety, and that is how you're going to rotate this? Or do you keep Brian Branch there and Davis and Terrion Arnold on the outside? Or do you kick Enos Rakestraw or Amik Robertson into the slot? You've got all those options. And then you're a cornerback three now. Instead of being Kendall Vildor, instead of being Emmanuel Mosley, now it's Amik Robertson versus Enos Rakestraw to be that backup on the outside, assuming Terrion Arnold wins that job, which he will eventually. So now your cornerback three and your cornerback four have both been upgraded. You've still got Emmanuel Mosley, who's going to be rehabbing from that torn ACL. They're hoping that he can make a return later in the season for that playoff run that they're hoping for. You've still got Kendall Vildor, who was a starter last year for the Lions. Now he's kicked down to cornerback 5-6. You've got Stephen Gilmore and Khalil Dorsey still competing to be on the roster, but you have just upgraded across the board. Carlton Davis, better than Cam Sutton. That's just a fact. Tyrion Arnold / Amik Robertson at cornerback 2. Better than Jerry Jacobs. Better than Kendall Vildor. That is just an upgrade. Absolutely. It has just gotten better at every single position. And now you have the versatility at safety. Now, we do expect Kirby Joseph and Ifeatu Melifonwu to be those starting two safeties. But we saw last year that the Lions want three starting safeties. CJ Gardner-Johnson, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, at the end of the season, when all three of those guys were healthy, when Kirby Joseph, Ifeatu Melifonwu, and CJGJ, when they were all on the field together, they were all playing starter snaps. The Lions want three starting safeties. Plus, they had Brian Branch there in the slot as well. So almost four safety-type players on the field as starters for the Detroit Lions. That's going to continue, whether it is Brian Branch in the slot / that CJGJ safety role. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I don't know what they're going to do, but either way, they've got three starters at safety that will play starter snaps. They've got four starters at cornerback that can all play starter snaps if needed to. This has just been a magnificent overhaul of the defense for the Detroit Lions. You've got depth as well. We'll get to Sione Vaki later, but it sounds as though he's going to be more of a running back, but So many options, so many combinations with multiple starters in the secondary for the Detroit Lions. So many guys that can do so many things. This was a huge win.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then, I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Now, it did cost the third round pick, so we had to wait quite a while. We had to wait till the fourth round, and then the Lions traded up again. The Lions give up their third round pick in 2025 for Giovanni Manu, the first player in the history of the University of British Columbia. That's up here in Canada where I am. I know all about UBC and the Thunderbirds. The first time we've ever seen a UBC player drafted into the NFL. The fourth time we've seen a Canada West player. So in the Canadian football, it's all one big conference, but there's two sides. There's the East and the West, and they get broken down into smaller divisions. There's four divisions, two conferences. So the fourth time that we've seen a Canada West player drafted to the NFL, but it's been some pretty big names. David Onyemata, the starting defensive tackle for the Atlanta Falcons, had a bunch of success with the Saints as well. He was drafted out of the University of Manitoba in 2016. Akeem Hicks, everyone knows the run stuffer for the Chicago Bears for so many years, also played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There was someone else before the Bears as well. It was the Saints. It was also the Saints for Akeem Hicks, just a star out of the University of Regina in 2012. And then Brian Fryer in 1976 out of the University of Alberta. But Giovanni Manu is a massive, massive man, 6'8", 350 pounds, with the athleticism to go with it. A 9.0 RAS, that is a 90th percentile athleticism at offensive tackle for Giovanni Manu. Moved from Tonga to Canada early in his life. I believe he was 11 years old when he came to Canada after living and growing up in Tonga. And the Lions view him as a right guard, even though he played left tackle and left guard in college. They're talking about moving him to right guard, which would mean it's him and Penei Sewell at that right side. At some point, Giovanni Manu is not going to start anytime soon. He's not going to start in 2024. I doubt he starts in 2025, but by 2026, that development with the offensive line coach, Hank Fraley, for the Detroit Lions, there's a lot of upside there for Giovanni Manu as a 90th percentile athlete, the 15th most athletic offensive tackle in this draft class, runs a 4.96, jumps 33 and a half inches at 350 pounds at 6'8". This is a mountain of a man, and this is a John Dorsey guy. John Dorsey, who has a role in the Detroit Lions front office. The man knows talent. We saw it with the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw it with the Cleveland Browns. John Dorsey is an elite identifier of talent coming into the NFL. Now, he does have other issues. There's a reason he's not a general manager. It's because he had issues managing the salary cap. He would dole out these big contracts. He would trade up in the drafts, and he'd be right on the player a lot of the time, but it just hurts the rest of your roster when you're giving out big contracts to guys who don't always need the big contract or shouldn't always get the big contract. And then when you're trading up over and over again, you lose draft capital that you need in order to fill out your roster. Now, the Lions did make some trade-ups here, including this trade-up for Giovanni Manu, but trading up in the fourth round, I'm all right with it, especially when you get this kind of athleticism. They've been comparing him to Broderick Martin, who was also a John Dorsey guy last year, a small school defensive tackle out of Western Kentucky, but a mountain of a man. And when you look at this Lions roster, who is cracking this starting lineup as a rookie? Very few players across the board, across multiple positions, even in the first round. There were so many guys that were selected in the first round that just wouldn't start for the Detroit Lions because of the way they are built. And that's probably going to be the case in 2025 as well. The Lions have a lot of money to spend next year. They've got a lot of guys on contract already. It's going to be tough to crack the starting roster. So you give up picks now, you give up picks for the future, who are going to struggle to crack the lineup for guys that you know are going to help you in 2 years when this contract start to expire. But Giovanni Manu, second team All-Canadian in 2022 and 2023. Started every game of his career after a redshirt freshman season. 33 starts at left tackle, 6 starts at left guard. It's going to be a project. It's going to take some time, but a 6'8", 350-pound tackle with 90th percentile athleticism, that is the guy you take a shot on. And the Lions trade up again in the fifth round for Sione Vaki, the safety slash running back slash special teamer out of Utah. And now we mentioned just a moment ago that it's going to be tough to crack this starting lineup. It's going to be hard to crack this starting lineup on offense and defense, but Sione Vaki immediately steps in as a starter on special teams, probably a starter on all four phases of special teams. He's going to be on kickoff. He's going to be on kick return, might be the kick returner. He didn't return kicks in college, but he did it in high school. And the Lions are already talking about, with the changes to the rules, that Sione Vaki might be their future kick returner. He's going to be involved in punt return as well, whether it is returning punts, probably not because they got Khalif Raymond, more likely involved in the punt block slash coverage unit. And he'll be on the punt coverage unit kicking the ball as well. So he's going to immediately step in as a four-phase special teams player. But he can contribute at safety if they want him to. He was a star at safety at Utah, first team all Pac-12 safety at Utah just last year. Also a finalist for the Paul Hornung Award for the most versatile player in college football because of what he did at running back. Sione Vaki with 42 carries and 7.5 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 3 touchdowns through the air, average 18.5 yards per reception on 11 grabs this past season. So all told, 53 touches on offense, 520 yards, 9.8 yards per touch, and 5 TDs from a safety. a safety who also had 2 sacks, 8.5 tackles for loss, an interception, and 51 total tackles. The first player in Pac-12 history since 2014 to record a sack and a receiving touchdown in the same game. The man is a freak. The man is versatile. The man can do it all. Now, he does have a slow 40, 4.62 in the third 40. That was third slowest at safety, but the 1.54 10-yard split is much, much better. That puts us close to the elite category. So it's not the top end speed in the 40, but it's the elite acceleration, the elite burst. 92nd percentile broad jump, 95th percentile vertical, the explosiveness, the acceleration for Sione Vaque. That is why the Lions took him. Now, it does sound as though he is going to be a running back for the Detroit Lions. He is going to be that RB3 more than likely. So Craig Reynolds, Zonovan Knight, both now on the outside looking in. Now, one of them, or potentially both of them, probably, well, not both of them, but one of them could make the roster given Vaki's versatility. He could also be that safety number 4 with Brian Branch being safety number 3. So they could list him at safety, keep an extra running back. They could do some maneuvering there. But either way, it looks like he is going to leapfrog Craig Reynolds, leapfrog Zonovan Knight, and become that third running back. Also played in the slot at Utah. Versatile, versatile, versatile. I cannot wait to see the things that Ben Johnson cooks up for him. And again, I know top end speed's not there, but the elite burst and acceleration, there's a reason he averaged 9.8 yards per touch when he did play offense. And this is another trade-up. This cost the Lions a fourth-round pick in 2025. So now the Lions have their first-round pick and their second-round pick still. They gave up their third in order to acquire Giovanni Manu. They gave up the Eagles' fourth. So they actually gave the Eagles their fourth-rounder back. The fourth rounder that the Lions got for DeAndre Swift last year in a trade, they give that back to the Eagles to move up and select Sione Vaque. So they lose a fourth rounder, but they still have their own fourth. They have their own fifth, and they have 2 7th round picks. Now they give up their sixth round pick to acquire Donovan Peoples-Jones. So they don't have that. They're missing a third rounder and they're missing a sixth rounder, but otherwise first, second, fourth, fifth, and 2 7th round picks for the Detroit Lions in 2025. And this just shows us how strongly the Lions believe in their roster. It shows us that the Lions are, like I just said, saying, hey, we've got a strong roster. We've got a very talented roster. And most of this roster is going to be back in 2025. The guys that aren't currently under contract, we're going to extend them, like Aleem McNeil, like Jared Goff, like some of these other guys, like Ife Melifonwu, Derek Barnes. These are the kind of guys that could get extensions or could be replaced by other talented players already on the roster. So a third round pick in 2025, is that a player that's going to make a difference for us in any time soon? The Lions are saying probably not. They're saying we've got a strong roster now. We'll take some players that are going to help us in the future, like Manu, help us immediately, like Vaque. And the Lions thought it was worth it. And it's even more interesting because the Lions, Brad Holmes was saying that he looked into trading up again into the 30s and 40s rather than selecting Enos Rakestraw in the second round. He looked at trading up, at moving up. That just shows us how confident this organization is in the roster that they have now, the roster that they're going to have for the next 2-3 seasons. And some people are calling this a general manager heat check for Brad Holmes. I can't remember who put it out there on Twitter, X, if you want to call it that. It's still going to be Twitter for me for now and for always. But is this a GM heat check? Is Brad Holmes getting a little overconfident, giving up these future picks for players late in the draft, for players that may not have had the hype of some of the other names in the draft? Or is Brad Holmes really that good? At this point, I think we can say Brad Holmes is really that good. And if it doesn't work out, all general managers have misses. If you're going to miss, miss on the athleticism, the size of Giovanni Manu. Miss on the versatility, the immediate impact on special teams of Sione Vaque. And it gets even better, though, because these were the two risky picks in the trade-up. But in the sixth round, it was just Brad Holmes and another absolute masterclass. They go out and they draft Mekhi Wingo, the LSU defensive tackle, rocked number 18 this past season, a team captain for the LSU Tigers. Now, if you don't know, whoever wears 18 for the Tigers is a very special player. 18 is gifted to the player that best represents the traits and the spirit that define LSU greatness. So Mekhi Wingo was given that as the player that best defines what LSU is all about, was voted a team captain by his players, suffered an injury in the season. So he missed 5 games with a groin injury, only played 8 games in 2023, but he rushed back. He came back early. Most prospects, most players would have said, hey, I'm getting drafted. I'm just going to get healthy. I'm going to work on my rehab. Sorry, being a nice run, but I'm done. But Mekhi Wingo, with his loyalty to the team, with his captain status, said, nah, I'm going to do everything I can to come back for a meaningless bowl game, a bowl game that we're not competing for the playoffs. We're not really competing for anything. Doesn't matter. I'm going to come back early. I am going to play because I am that kind of player. I owe this. I want to gift this to my team. And that is just Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, grit. That is the type of player that those guys love. That is the type of player that they are all about. Third team All-American in 2022 before the injury in 2023, but he was on his way to a great, great season before the injury. Already had 5.5 sacks in those 8 games. Just a season cut too short. Also second team All-SEC in 2022 before the injury. And the man is athletic as hell. 87th percentile RAS, relative athletic score. But that'd be a lot higher if it weren't for the weight. The weight and the size is really the only thing that's keeping Mekhi Wingo back from being one of the most athletic defensive tackles of the year. So we've got a 96th percentile all-time 40, the second fastest 40 at defensive tackle at 4.85. He's got a 91st percentile shuttle, a 92nd percentile 3-cone. So speed and agility, this guy ranks in the 90th percentile across the board. Vertical, 85th percentile. Broad jump, 77th percentile. The only thing that really kept him from being the most athletically relative defensive tackle that we've seen recently is the weight, 284 pounds at 6 foot. That is small at defensive tackle, but it's not too small. It's not going to be an issue at all, especially when you see the way he played against the run. He is stout. That 6 foot size makes him hard to block. It is hard to out leverage Mekhi Wingo because of his height. Doesn't matter that he's a little smaller than some of these other defensive tackles. He is stout against the run. He can rush the passer, 8.5 sacks in his 2022 season for the LSU Tigers. An elite, elite athlete. This is an upgrade pretty immediately to the defensive line. Now, he's not a starter, obviously. We've got DJ Reader there at nose tackle. We've got Aleem McNeil there at 3-tech, rushing the passer. But it upgrades the depth. That is for damn sure. Levi Onwuzurike and Broderick Martin were the next two defensive tackles in line for the Detroit Lions. Broderick Martin, last year's pick out of Western Kentucky, still developing as an athletic monster that the Lions hope to see more out of this year. But Mekhi Wingo, definitely more pro-ready than Broderick Martin was last year, and very potentially more pro-ready than Broderick Martin still is today. He was drafted as a project. Like I said, Mekhi Wingo could be an immediate rotational player. And I know for a sixth rounder, you're saying, probably not. Mekhi Wingo was consensus across the board, fourth rounder at worst, from all of these websites, the consensus mock or consensus draft board that Arif Hassan puts together. He was a fourth round guy at worst, falls to the sixth round, could be an immediate rotational player for the Detroit Lions at defensive tackle. I think he's better than Levi Onwuzurike already. Now, the nice thing for the Lions is they don't immediately have to have him do that. They don't have to have him as a rotational player to start. Maybe Broderick Martin did take that step forward. Levi Onwuzurike can play snaps, and there are still plenty of defensive tackles that can move in as a rotational player, left And in sub packages, they've already got Josh Pascal. They've got John Kaminsky. So they've still got players that they can kick inside on passing downs. They don't need to force Mekhi Wingo there immediately. They don't need to say, hey, you're a rotational player now just because you're a rotational player now. This is me saying it's going to happen. He is going to make an impact on this roster in 2024 as a depth piece, but he's still going to do it. The Lions are also talking about how he, even though he is 287 pounds, even though he's a defensive tackle, he's such a talented pass rusher with his hands and his ability to bull rush some of the smaller offensive tackles that he could play outside if they want him to. There may be some packages where he is rushing from the outside, crashing that offensive tackle down where Aiden Hutchinson loops around, lined up at defensive tackle. We saw that happen last year in some of these looks from the Detroit Lions. Don't be surprised when that happens. And I know you're probably skeptical that a sixth round pick, that I'm this confident that they could make an immediate impact, but let's just wait and see. I am that confident in Mekhi Wingo being at least an NFL rotational player already. And then they go and do it again in the sixth round with another Steeler. Christian Mahogany, once again, was a fourth round, fifth round guy at worst in Arif Hasan's consensus big board, looking at all of the different analysts, all the different websites out there, comparing them. Christian Mahogany was an absolute steal. Now, Dan Campbell alluded, hey, I maybe know why he fell in the draft. You know, I'm not going to talk about it here publicly. I know why, but at the same time, there's a lot of other guys that got drafted that have a lot more worries for me personally than Christian Mahogany. So you know what? He's available in the sixth round. He shouldn't have been there. He should have been gone in the fourth round, and we're happy to take him. Now, Christian Mahogany could play in 2024. I don't expect him to, because if anything happens at center, we kick Graham Glasgow inside, and we've got Kayode Awoshika there to step in at left guard. He did so admirably against the San Francisco 49ers in the playoffs. We've also got Colby Sorsdahl, who made some starts at right guard and played some at right tackle as well. So the Lions don't need him to be that top backup in 2024. But he could be. Dane Brugler, one of the best minds in the business at this, already says, hey, he could be a backup, a primary backup in 2024, depending on where he goes. This is before the draft. Now he goes to the Lions. Doesn't need to be a primary backup, but he's going to have that chance to compete. Kayode Awoshika, Colby Sorsdahl, Christian Mahogany, they are all going to be competing along the interior of the offensive line for that top reserve role currently held by Awoshika on the left and Colby Sorsdahl on the right. But what this also potentially does is allows Colby Sorsdahl to move out to right tackle. He was drafted as a swing guard slash tackle last year. The Lions said, hey, we're going to get you reps at guard. They did move him to right tackle when Taylor Decker was dealing with injuries. Colby Sorsdahl started at right tackle. Penei Sewell moved over to the left side, so they could very well do that again. They've also got Dan Skipper, Big Dan, number 70, who should have scored the winning two-point conversion for the Detroit Lions if the refs weren't in the pocket of Jerry Jones. But I digress. Christian Mahogany is a mean, mean man. He's got some dirtbag in him, according to Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. That is the type of player that they love. Two-time captain for Boston College, the Golden Eagles. First team All-ACC in 2023 after allowing zero sacks. Also, in 2021, allowed just one sack. He had one sack allowed in his entire college career. Three seasons for Christian Mahogany. One sack across those three seasons. Now, he did miss 2022 with a torn ACL, but was a starter from day one at left guard back in 2020. 2021 moves to right guard as a starter there, allows his one and only sack of his college career. And then in 2023, zero sacks allowed, plays right guard. But we already see he can play left guard. He can play right guard. He's dominant at right guards, one of the best guards in the ACC. 34 starts, play both sides. What is not to love? And he even played some tackle, 32 snaps at right tackle this year, six snaps at left tackle for Christian Mahogany. He's not going to play tackle in the NFL. He's a guard-only type of guy, but he can play both guard spots. He could be the future Graham Glasgow that we saw last year, a guy that is a backup forced into a starting role and can hold his own. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen in 2024, but it could. And now you also might actually know who Christian Mahogany is. You might all remember if you watch SportsCenter, if you watch basically anything on social media, you have probably seen one of the greatest celebrations of all time. The keg stand after a lineman lines up at fullback, scores the 1 yard touchdown, and he does the keg stand celebration. That was Christian Mahogany. Love it. Absolutely love it. That is a Dan Campbell type of player. That is a Brad Holmes type of player. The big man getting the touchdown. And I just love this draft class. I absolutely love this draft class. We get Terry and Arnold, who I do expect to be a starter from day one. We've got Enos Rakestraw, who I don't think is going to be a starter from day one, but could be in the second round. I think he's going to end up behind behind Terry and Arnold, behind those guys at cornerback. Why am I forgetting? Amik Robertson, geez Louise, been talking too long, podcast gone on too long as a solo podcast, but I do expect Enos Rakestraw to be that cornerback 3/4, probably start out at 4 if injuries happen, or if he just shows out, he could make an impact in 2024, but they don't need him to. Giovanni Manu, long-term play, could be a future starter at right guard by 2026, maybe 2027, either way. Fine with it. Those are the players that you take those bets on. Sione Vaque could rotate in at safety, going to rotate in as that third running back, but immediately will be a core special teams player, playing all four special teams. Teams will probably be the day one kick returner as well. Immediate impact player, even though it's just special teams matter a hell of a lot. Then you've got Makai Wingo, who could be a rotational piece on the defensive line at defensive tackle immediately, and Christian Mahogany, who has the talent where he could be a backup guard in the NFL now, if not 2025, could be a future starter as well. Getting immediate starters, immediate impact players with guys who could start as soon as next year and guys that almost certainly will start in the future. This was another Brad Holmes masterclass.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.